The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. Amma ba'd fa'a'uzu billahi min ash-shaytani r-rajim, bismillahi r-rahman r-rahim. Please repeat after me. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurullah. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Views of Madni Channel. Welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds, where we're on a wonderful journey through the life of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This was the best of all lives. This time was the best of all times. And the places that Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam blessed were the best places of all time. Subhanallah, what an amazing journey we're on. And we had come to the position where Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam had blessed Madinatul Munawwara, and the Islamic empire was growing, alhamdulillah, in Medina. The companions were coming together, the muhajirun, those who traveled with Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkatul Mukarramah, and the ansar, the helpers from Medina, were all coming together beautifully. And you remember last week, alhamdulillah, we went through the changing of direction of the Qibla and the wisdoms behind that. Today we're going to continue from there. But before we do, let me start off with a beautiful blessing of Durud-e-Pak. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, subhanallah, has given us a very beautiful gift. You know, on the Day of Judgment, it's a very difficult day, and people will be, they say nafsa nafsi, which means basically confused and disoriented and not knowing what's going to happen and worried about their accountability and everything else. But can you imagine if on that day, when the plane of resurrection is full of billions of people, you get singled out and brought to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only brought to the court of the best of creation, but also you get the opportunity to shake hands with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, how amazing would that be? Listen to this hadith of Mubarakah. Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever sends Durud-e-Pak upon me 50 times a day, I will shake hands with him on the Day of Judgment. Subhanallah. Now, 50 times a day, 1-2 minutes maybe, take a small Durud-e-Pak. Sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's two. Yeah? Just that, easily in a couple of minutes. If you make it a habit with that in mind, not only will you get the amazing benefits of reciting Durud-e-Pak upon the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but also on the Day of Judgment, you will be taken to the court of the blessed and beloved Habib. All eyes will be on the beloved that day. And you will have the honor and the privilege of going to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not only being in the court, which is an amazing privilege in itself, but also shaking hands with the beautiful and blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we've got a question for today. Let me go to the question. Inshallah azawajal, I had it here. So the question, a very interesting one actually. So the question is, you know, we talked a few weeks ago about the construction of Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif and how the best of creation, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet, the mercy to the world, the final messenger, themselves carried stones and helped build that Masjid Sharif. How many doors did Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif have in the first construction? How many doors did Masjid al-Nabawi Sharif have in the first construction? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to move to our beautiful kalam section. We're going to hear a beautiful natipak, and inshallah azawajal, after that we will move to our main segment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aayi naseeme kuwe Muhammad, آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
طوبا کی جانب تکنے والوں طوبا کی جانب تکنے والوں آنکھیں کھولو ہوش سنبھالو آنکھیں کھولو ہوش سنبھالو دیکھو قدِ دل جوئے محمد دیکھو قدِ دل جوئے محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
نام اسی کا باب کرم ہے نام اسی کا باب کرم ہے دیکھ یہی محراب حرم ہے دیکھ یہی محراب حرم ہے دیکھ ہمیں اب روئے محمد دیکھ ہمیں اب روئے محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
ہم سب کا رخ سوئے کعبہ ہم سب کا رخ سوئے کعبہ سوئے محمد روئے کعبہ سوئے محمد روئے کعبہ کعبے کا کعبہ کوئے محمد کعبے کا کعبہ کوئے محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئی نسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم
بھینی بھینی خوشبو لہکی بھینی بھینی خوشبو لہکی بے دم دل کی دنیا مہکی بے دم دل کی دنیا مہکی کھل گئے جب گے سوئے محمد کھل گئے جب گے سوئے محمد
صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آئی عسیمِ کوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کھچنے لگا دل سوئے محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم.
SubhanAllah, what a beautiful kalam. You know, we should get more of these kalams which have that reoccurrent theme of Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, the Kalma Sharif playing with it. And we should play them in our houses so that our children get used to it. Alhamdulillah, I remember when Madni Channel first came on our screens, the children loved it. They were running around the house saying, Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And I know that there are some new kalams with the Zikr Sharif in it as well. And you've still got children kind of reading these kalams and it stays on their tongue and it stays in their minds. So you should regularly play Nat-e Paak's Alhamdulillah. You know, kalams of Ala Hazrat Amir al-Sunnah Dhamma Barakatul Aliya, all these great pious people, so that our children not only learn the kalams, but they all play in their mind. You know, when you play something, even when you stop playing, it carries on going in your mind and the theme and the tune and Alhamdulillah. So if you have something beautiful like this, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it just carries on going in the background and Alhamdulillah becomes part of our lives. SubhanAllah. We're going to move to our first segment, Insha'Allah Azawajal, the mercy to the world in this beautiful journey. Sallu Alal Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala Ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
The mercy to the world.
Now, what happened last time is, you'll remember, the Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was praying towards Baytul Maqdis, because that was the command when Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Madinatul Munawwara. And then the command came to change the direction of prayer towards the Holy Kaaba. And I went through the fact that Allah said, beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you can pray towards whichever direction you wish. And Akakrim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a desire in their heart, Mubarak, to pray towards the Holy Kaaba in Makkatul Mukarramah. And this was a great test for the companions. They didn't stick to following the Qibla that they were told. They thought, who are we to follow a particular direction or do a particular thing? This is the beloved Habib that has shown us the door, the guidance, the way to Allah Azza wa Jal. And so we will follow the Habib. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, this was a great test for them and they have passed. And then there were those who failed this test. Some people whose iman was very weak, some of the hypocrites and others started to say, look at the Muslims, what has happened to them? Why is this Prophet changing his Qibla, etc.? But Allah Azza wa Jal said, these people are foolish. And this was a great test to see who purely was in love and was truly obedient in the court of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because that group around Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was destined to change the face of the earth. They were destined to change the world up until the Day of Judgment. And so those pure, pure souls were, you know, isolated and, you know, taken and put in a special batch. And anybody with the slightest amounts of doubt was sieved away, and these perfect companions remained with the perfect best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So the munafiqoon, the people, the kuffar, the hypocrites, they were now very upset because Islam is in Madinatul Munawwara. Islam, this is a safe haven for the Muslims, and the Muslims are going out preaching in villages, and Alhamdulillah, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is inviting to the way of Islam and is inviting people to the one and only true God and the one and only true religion, and is giving the glad tidings of Jannah and handing the keys of Jannah. And the kuffar of Mecca, they are upset. They're thinking, hang on a minute. Initially, they were glad. They thought, full of Muslims have gone to Medina now. So, you know, it's less of a headache for us. But then their enmity and their arrogance and their hatred got the better of them. And they thought, no, how can they be living a peaceful life there and, you know, propagating this deen? They then started to think of ways to get at the Muslims. And in the early period of Islam, what had happened is that despite persecution, despite the difficulties that the Muslims were put through, nobody ever responded.
Nobody ever tried to even protect themselves. The people were persecuted, but they were patient. They did not retaliate. They held back, and they persevered, and they bore this torture with great patience and great belief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. When Hazrat Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala was tortured in the streets of Makkah, you know, all they said is, don't say there's one God. And he continued to say, Ahad, Ahad, Ahad. He continued to proclaim this kalma. And this vexated the kuffar, the disbelievers, even more. And they would torture him even more. But he didn't respond in any other way. But then, after the Muslims had migrated to Medina, to Munawwara, Islam was now bigger and getting, getting ready to spread. And now the kuffar, the disbelievers of the time, the different tribes, the different kind of people from across Arabia started to come together. And they started to scheme and plot to destroy this small minority of Muslims in Medina. So the fact that they had got a safe haven and now they were out of their way wasn't enough for the people of Makkah, wasn't enough for the other people of Arabia. No, they wanted to put an end to these Muslims. And it was in this context that the Muslims were given the right to protect themselves. Now, if one looks at history, when Allah Azza wa Jal first discussed with the angels in about the creation of man, what the angels said is that man will create disorder on the earth, they will kill each other, and there will be anarchy. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, I know that which you do not know. And when man was put on the earth, after the times of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, there was relative peace at some time. But the first murder of Hazrat Habil and Qabil was before us. So this started back then. But these things spread. And over time, there were lots of times when one set of people persecuted another set of people. And if we go back a few thousand years, you've got the great Persian Empire, you had the Mongols, you had the Roman Empires, you had all these great forces. And some of them ruled their lands for thousands of years. And they ruled vast areas. And their modus of operation, the way that they did things, was that they would go into lands, they would destroy the place, they would kill the inhabitants, they would kill the men, they would enslave the women, they would kill the children, they would do everything. And, one of the things that the history writes about one of the empires was they used to walk into a city of, say, 3 million people, and they would kill a million, and then enslave a million, and then ask the other million, what do you think we should do with you? This was how barbaric these times were. When Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this world, the world was in true darkness. There was no such thing as morality, dignity, any self-respect, any honor. It all evolved around the power one had and the money one had. So if you had power, you had money, you had the right to do whatever you want. There was no rights of the innocent. And in modern Europe and everywhere else, you've got the human rights declarations and you've got international laws and everything else. But these came about only in the last 150 years. But Islam introduced these things hundreds and hundreds of years ago. And alhamdulillah, the beauty of the teachings of Islam were not just on paper. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkatul Mukarramah, and we'll come to that in a few weeks' time, but just very briefly at this moment, this was the city where the beloved companions were tortured and martyred. This was the city where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was persecuted. This was the city that Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to leave, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very upset about it. This was the city which, was the home of the best of creation, and yet Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to migrate to Medina to Munawwara. And the people who had persecuted this and didn't give up even when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left, they chased after the Muslims and wanted to put an end to Islam in Madinatul Munawwara. And despite all of this, a few years go by, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conquered Makkah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set an example for the world. It was something that the world had never seen. Muslims entered Makkah. They could have torn Makkah to bits. They could have sought out each individual who had tortured people, who had persecuted the Muslims, and taken revenge on them. They could have taken land, they could have taken property, they could have done a lot. But the day that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered Mecca, their head Mubarak was lowered, humbleness, thanking Allah azawajal, and said, today nobody is to be harmed. Today, anybody who seeks refuge will be given refuge. Today, we are not here to persecute anybody. We're not here to take revenge. And the world couldn't believe it. The world was mesmerized. How is this possible? Only years before, these very people were the ones who tortured and killed you. And yet, you are being, you know, so nice to them. How is that? And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, because I am a mercy to the world. I'm not here to take revenge. These are my people. So what if they persecuted me? These are my people. They are, you know, part of the ummah. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ummah doesn't just consist of those who come into the fold of Islam, but the scholars write that it's much bigger than that. And so these are there. And that beauty, that love, that care, that affection that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed the people of Makkah, who were petrified. Absolutely petrified. How have we been treating these Muslims for so many years? How we've persecuted them, how we've tortured them, how we've even torn them limb to limb. Today, what they're going to do to us is going to be next level. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, no. I am rahmatan lil alameen. I am the mercy to the world. And nothing is going to happen to you today. And the leader of the disbelievers at the time, the kuffar, was, you know, Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who later accepted Islam. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show his kind of, to, in a way, honor him, said, whoever hides in the house of Abu Sufyan is also protected as well. And Hazrat Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu says, he wasn't a Muslim at that stage, he says, I just couldn't understand it. This level of, you know, honor that was given to me, that people were, you know, coming to me saying, if we're with you, we're saved today. Why would the best of creation do that? And he fell in love with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and wouldn't anybody with such beautiful behavior. This was Islam. And so when the Muslim armies marched out and conquered lands, the first thing they did was said, look, no child, no woman, no elderly, nobody is to be hurt. Yes, there are battles, but battles are between the men who are on the battlefields, and that's it. Once you conquer a city, everybody's rights need to be respected. And the people of the world couldn't believe this. They were thinking, hang on, what's happening here? For millennia, armies have come in. Once they've conquered a land, they ransack the place. They kill the people. They take the women. They murder the children. They take the crops. They take the treasures. They loot everything. What sort of army is this? And the Muslims, the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we are the devotees of that beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who when he conquered Makkah, he showed us how to behave. And we are going to behave in that way. And you know, there are history testifies, when the Muslims conquered from Spain through to the borders of China, when there was 98% of the population wasn't Muslim, only 2% was Muslim. But when the Muslims marched in, they didn't forcibly ask people to revert to Islam, no. The beautiful companions spread out, and through their conduct and character, people started to come into the fold of Islam. You know, the baffling thing was, the people of the time said, we're told you can keep your land, you can keep your crops, you can keep your businesses, you can carry on a life as normal. And they thought, what sort of conquering army is this? And the Muslim commanders, you know, the greats of Sayyidina Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, they said, look, nobody gets it. Leave everybody to it. Change the senior people. And let the corrupt bureaucrats, even those, don't persecute them. Let them take whatever they want and get out of the country or get out of the city. Don't murder them unnecessarily, despite their plots and everything else. Let them go. And then protect the people and make sure that the people are happy and live peaceful lives. And no matter what religion they are or what they do, give them equality and give them freedom. And when people saw suddenly, after you know, thousands of years, such an army, they thought, hang on a minute, who are these people? And that's when Islam started to spread. Islam started to spread through the beautiful conduct of the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now with that in mind, you know, so the Muslims are now in Madinatul Munawwara, and the kuffar of the Arabian Peninsula now are plotting against them. And they've all come together, all the different sects. And they're all thinking, right, we've got to put an end to this. And so they are planning how to attack the Muslims and how to, you know, go about destroying Islam. And their biggest mission was to martyr Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Muslims are then allowed the command to protect themselves. And Allah Azza wa Jalla reveals the glorious ayat in Surah Hajj, ayat 39. Permission is granted to those against whom the disbelievers wage war as they are being wronged. And indeed Allah is able to grant them victory. And this is where now the Muslims started to defend themselves. They started to protect their own properties and they started to look after. Then there came a time when they were propagating deen, but they started to find out. And this is where the Muslims of the era were very wise. They didn't just close their eyes, bury their head in the sand and thought, right, let's just carry on. They were always aware of what was going on around them. What was happening in the Arabian Peninsula, they had surveillance, they had reconnaissance, and they were being told that the people are getting together, the kuffar of Makkah, other disbelievers, they're rejecting Islam, and they harbor hatred. Despite your beautiful conduct, and despite everybody who comes across you, loving you, you know, these people are conspiring against you. And they are building a force to come and to wipe you out. It was in this context that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said to the companions, look, we need to be strong to defend ourselves. And we need to train and we need to have equipment and armor so that we can defend the city of Medina, we can defend the Muslims, and we can now go about making sure that if we're attacked, we can protect ourselves. But not only that, if somebody is planning, then we can pounce on them and make sure that before they actually come and attack, we're there and wisely we put an end to it, nip it in the bud, as they say, before it even starts. So you've got to remember that the companions that were with Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had left everything behind in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and they had very little, but the Ansar, alhamdulillah, they helped. And the Ansar and the Muhajirun, they came together like brothers. And so when they came together and this bond started to grow and Islam started to spread, the kuffar became restless. They thought, look, we've got to get rid of this problem once and for all. So they threatened to attack Medina. Only a few days after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not a big time, a few days after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had migrated to Madinatul Munawwarah, the chiefs of Makkah, they write a letter to the leader of the Ansar, Abdullah ibn Ubay. Now, he was somebody who was very well honored, very well respected in Madinatul Munawwarah, and he was considered to be one of the leaders. And in fact, one riwayat says that he was about to be crowned the king of Medina. And when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, he was no longer the most important person. People, everybody in Medina turned to the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You had this Nurani, this enlightening face, this enlightening personality, the best of creation, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. People were dying just to get a glimpse of this beautiful face. And so, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he thought, hang on a minute, I was going to be crowned the king. What has happened here? My coronation has been cancelled and suddenly this person has taken over. So in his heart, He resented Islam. And na'uzubillah, he resented Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the kuffar of Makkah write to him. And what they say is, you have given refuge to our enemy, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who hails from our city. By the Creator, you will either kill or exile him from Medina. Otherwise, we will attack you and we will kill your young men, and that will leave us free to do what we want with your women folk. You know, remember I mentioned the history. This was the history of war. This is what they were threatening him with. This is what Islam changed. Then, when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to know about this letter, Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met with Abdullah ibn Ubay and asked, O Abdullah, will you kill your brothers and sons due to the fact that most of the Ansar have embraced Islam? So, Abdullah ibn Ubay was in a very difficult situation because most of Medina now had embraced Islam. So, if he went against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the kuffar of Makkah attacked, you know, it left him in a very precarious situation. So he decided not to do anything. And during this period, there was great trials and tribulations, and there were great people who tried to come together to put an end to Islam, and they come up with very treacherous ways of, you know, giving difficulty, creating difficulty for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there came a time when they stopped the veiled threats and they started to prepare to attack the Muslims. Now at this time, the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal started to teach the companions that we had to think bigger and wiser than this, because the Arab tribes were now getting together to attack and eradicate the Muslims. But Madinatul Munawwara was on a main trade route, which the people of Makkah and most of the Arabs were using. That was, you know, passing by Medina. So if that trade route was to stop, then that would cause great problems because they had no other business. So that was a potential tool that could be used. Now, what had happened is that there was a man from Medina who visited Makkah to do Umrah. And he was confronted by Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl said, "Why are you here? What are you doing here? You know, we should be killing you. You're part of the clan of Medina who's given refuge to this beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And he, Sayyidina Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala, he very confidently said, he said, "Listen, if you decide to stop us from doing Umrah, then don't forget your trade routes pass by Medina and you'll never be able to do trade again." Fearing this, they left him. So this was the kind of thing that was going in the minds of the Meccan people, the Kuffar. They were thinking, "Well, we want to put an end to this, but they can stop our trade routes." Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had recognized their weak point. So Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam carries on with the work of Deen. And what the Kuffar do is to start to make offensive tools. And they start to create difficulties for Muslims. And they start to plot to martyr the Muslims. And so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam initiates two strategies. The first of them was to block this travel route to Syria, because this was the livelihood of the Meccan people. And the second was to make agreements with the people around Medina, the different areas around Medina al-Munawwara, that they will not help the Kuffar. Once this was done, then small groups of companions would go into these areas and give them the invitation to Islam. And these groups visiting these tribes, alhamdulillah, not only would they spread the message of Islam, but they would also gather information on what the Kuffar were doing and what their plans were, so that the Muslims could protect themselves against these plans. So there were many, many times when the companions prepared for battle, went out to confront the Kuffar who were coming to put an end to Islam, but they missed each other, or for whatever reason, on one occasion, one of the local chiefs managed to call a truce between them. Battles didn't happen. But there were a number of major battles that happened between these tribes of Arabia and the Muslims of Madinatul Munawwara. And the greatest battle of them all was the Battle of Badr. You also had the Battle of Uhud, Ahzab, Banu Mustalik, Khaybar, conquest of Makkah al-Mukarramah, the Battle of Hunayn, the Battle of Taif. But in all of these, there were different political strategies that were happening. But the majority of them were basically these Arabian tribes all trying to put an end to Islam. Subhanallah. One of the first ghazwas to take place, one of the first battles, was at Abwa Sharif, which was the resting place of the mother of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That battle didn't actually take place, but Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam stayed there for a few days near the Rozai Mubarak, near the grave Mubarak of their beloved and dear mother Hazrat Amna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Then, over time, there were different confrontations, but nothing major. A lot of the time, there was no battle. Armies marched out from both sides, from these tribes of Arabia and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companions, but there was no battle. But then we came to the great Battle of Badr. Now, this was a very interesting situation, because there was a caravan which had left for Syria, had done its trade, made good dealings, was on its way back, and the leader of this caravan was Abu Sufyan, who later accepted Islam. Now, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam found out about this, caravan, this big kind of entourage coming past Medina from Munawwara, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided that because the Kuffar of Makkah was still preparing for battle, still troubling the Muslims and still waiting for the opportunity to pounce, we would teach them a lesson by stopping this caravan. Now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out with 313 men. They didn't have any of the armors for battle. I think the historians write that they had very little. They had a few swords, a few horses, because they didn't actually set out with the intention of battle. They set out with the intention of taking hold of this caravan and teaching the people of Makkah a lesson for torturing and persecuting the Muslims, even though they had left Makkah al-Mukarramah. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out with the companions. The companions are heading towards there. Now Abu Sufyan finds out. He finds out, so he sends a messenger to Makkah. And he says to the people of Makkah, you know, that these people, the Muslims, are so bold now that they are ready to attack our caravan and to take all the goods. When the person who is sent enters Makkah, there was a tradition amongst the Arabs where if it was a really big news and it was dire news, then they would cut the nose of their camel, the ears of the camel, and they would stand on the camel and blood soaked. They would shout and scream and say, so this man walks into Makkah and he says, look, you know, he screams and all the people of Makkah get together and say, what is the problem? He says, the Muslims have attacked, not that they were preparing to attack, but have attacked, you know, the Kafala, and Abu Sufyan needs your help. So the people of Makkah are now furious. They all get together, all the tribes come together, they all armor up, fully loaded, and off they go to help Abu Sufyan in this time of need and to save their treasures and all the money and the wealth that they'd done business in Syria. Now, as Abu Sufyan reaches, Abu Sufyan was a very clever man. And so he decided, he'd learnt that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was actually coming to intercept this caravan. So he takes the coastal route. He takes a turn, takes the coastal route. So the Muslims don't actually find the caravan. Abu Sufyan comes via the coastal route and gets into Makkah al-Mukarramah. The Muslim army is there. Well, the Muslim group, I should say, because the army implies that they were ready to fight. But they were just there to intercept this caravan. The Kuffar of Makkah have already left Makkah. And what they do is they meet him there. And Abu Sufyan says, look, I'm safe. I came the other way. And so the danger's over. Let's go back. But some of the Kuffar of Makkah said, no. We're out now, and we've got all our, you know, stuff, all our luxuries. Apparently they had, you know, the words of Abu Jahl were, we've got our wine, we've got our food, we've got everything else. They had major backers from the people of Makkah who were wealthy, who were slaughtering camels a day for the army, and they were living it luxury. You know, they were traveling out, but every night they had their feasts and their festivals and everything else. So it was an army of 1,000 strong. But they were marching in a very kind of courageous and happy way. They were living it large. So some of the tribes were wise. They said, no, we're going back. A couple of tribes left, but the rest of the tribes decided, no, we're going to go. They spend their nights with their music and their wines and everything else. In the morning, they travel, and they travel towards Badr. Badr was the place where the two armies met. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only had 313 companions. They were mostly unarmed, and so there were very few people. But what they had was the power of Iman. So they said, the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the army's marching towards us, what are we going to do? And they said, don't worry, we are with you, come what may. Doesn't matter if we've not got anything to protect ourselves. Doesn't matter if we've not got armor or weapons or anything else. Whatever command you give, we will fulfill. And they marched forward just in the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did the night before the two armies was to meet was put their head down in prostration and cried all night in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the words were amazing. The words were, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, this is what I've earned in my life, these 313 companions. All the work that I've done, all the difficulties that I persevered with in Makkah al-Mukarramah, the persecution, the torture, all the Muslims, everything that Muslims went through, and this is what we have. And today, if on this battlefield they are martyred, then nobody will believe in the one and only true God. Till the day of judgment, Islam will be wiped off the surface of the earth. Ya Allah, you help us. Subhanallah, this battle started. And although there were only 313 Muslims against these tribes of Arabia who were more than 1,000, who were armed and equipped, Allah Azza wa Jal sent angels from the sky. And these angels descended, 5,000 in total. And the companions say that a lot of the kuffar in front of us, we could see them whip marks on their necks, their heads rolling off. And, you know, we were there. And a lot of companions fought bravely. 14 companions lost their life and are buried in Badr. The Muslims were given victory by Allah Azza wa Jal through the amazing du'as of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and through the help of Allah Almighty, who sent angels to protect the Muslims at this difficult time. After the battle had ended, a lot of major chiefs of the Meccan tribes, these people who were arrogant and boastful and full of pride and, you know, they thought they were it, had lost their lives. They, the greats of people like, you know, the great leaders, Abu Jahl, you know, and a lot of his fellow companions who thought that they controlled and ruled the world, were suddenly no longer there. 70 prisoners were captured. The rest of the army ran back to Mecca. They came back to Mecca and they cried and told the people of Mecca what had happened. And misery and sadness broke out throughout Mecca. When the Muslim army reached Madinatul Munawwara with these people, let me share something amazing with you. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, "These are prisoners, but we have responsibility for them. Share them between you. Take one, two, or three to your homes and make sure that they're looked after and fed properly. Even though they're prisoners, we owe them a duty and a responsibility." And the books of history say that when these prisoners were taken into the homes of the Ansar in Madinatul Munawwara, they themselves were eating dates and water, but they were feeding these prisoners meat and bread. Because they said that our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that we have to treat you with the utmost respect. This was how amazing, amazing Islam was. You know, a lot of these people, the prisoners, who saw this conduct, their hearts melted. They thought, we've traveled from Makkah to al-Mukarramah to Badr and now we've come to Medina and we wanted to kill these people and put an end to these people. And they're in front of us with their families eating water and dates and they're presenting us with roasted calves. What is this? And they said, this is Islam. This is the merciful Prophet. This is the beauty of this religion. And the people could not believe it. You know, it was an amazing, amazing time. And what happened then is that the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam held a meeting and asked the companions, what should we do with these prisoners? Some of them said, we should just take their heads off. And the best of creation said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should set a ransom for them and their families can come and free them. And whoever doesn't have a ransom will think of some other way. And you won't believe the way that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dealt with these people who had come to put an end to Islam. Whoever could afford the ransom of 4,000 dirhams was given freedom. So their family was sent a message, they brought the money, they were given freedom, and that money was used for Islamic purposes. And if they couldn't, the amazing strategy that they came up with said that if an individual was literate, he should teach the children of Medina and the people of Medina how to read and write. And if he does that and fulfills his duty, we will free him. Subhanallah. Look at the hikmat, the wisdom and the mercy of the Muslims. You know, this was absolutely amazing. And in this way, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam showed the world how to treat prisoners and how to deal with these difficult situations. Then there were many, many people. I'm looking at the time. We've totally lost track. We've only got a few minutes left. I'm just going to share one thing with you, and I'm going to very quickly just move on to my second segment. There was one particular companion, Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was the uncle of Nabi Kareem hadn't accepted Islam. He was one of the prisoners. So it is said to him that
you can be freed if you give the ransom. So he says, I haven't got the money. And what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, what he'd done is when he'd left home, he called his wife and said, look, if something happens to me, take that money and look after our children. And only his wife and he knew about it. When he said, I've got no money, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so what about that money you left with your wife before you came? And Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, who straight away accepted Islam, said, I testify that you are the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because apart from me and my wife, nobody else knew about that money. So you must be the Prophet of Allah azza wa jal. And I come into the fold of Islam. And what a great companion Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gained. I've run out of time. I'm going to very quickly go to... I'm going to mention one thing in relation to easy good deeds.
The mercy to the worst.
The easy good deed that we're going to be discussing for the next few weeks, and that is recitation of the glorious Qur'an. We should read the glorious Qur'an every day. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, famous hadith mubarak, said that I don't say that alif, lam, meem is one word, but I say alif is one letter, lam is one letter, meem is one letter, and you get 10 good deeds for each letter, and alif, lam, meem, you get 30. So somebody who reads a ruku of the glorious Qur'an, can you imagine how many good deeds you get? That is going to be our theme for the next few weeks in Good Deeds. We started a bit late and we lost a bit of time. The answer to the question, how many doors were built during the first construction of Masjid Nabawi Sharif? The answer was 3. May Allah Azza wa Jal bless and protect the Ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and save them from the torment and the torture and the persecution that the early Muslims suffered. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all the strength to stand together. Ameen bijahin Nabi Lameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa
sallam. The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.